Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is a real pleasure to come to church this evening and see the meeting house so well decorated. So can I echo Nigel's thanks to all who helped, and especially to whoever brought the whole thing. It's great to see. And thank you to everyone, though, that has been busy over the weekend preparing for our services. Well, let's open our Bibles together to Psalm number 1. And as we start to think about this psalm, I want us to think about what is a fruitful life. What is a fruitful life? If you were asked that question, if someone came up to you in the street and said, excuse me, can you tell me, you look like a wise person, you've maybe got a sprinkling of gray hair going on, and they say to you, yeah, can you tell me what makes a fruitful life? I wonder what you would start to say. Well, here's what the internet says. The internet says it's one that is full of purpose, one that it has productivity, and one that has had impact on the world. It goes on to say that you will have a purpose. You'll have contributed to society. You'll have a personal satisfaction from your actions and relationships, and that you will have been productive. There will be results in your life, whether that's in career or other areas. So let's try and picture this in a person. Let's imagine someone called Bob. Bob retires at 59. He had built a business and he sold it. And so he helps at the local charity shop twice a week. He has a group of friends that he sees once a week down at the football club. They have a drink together every week. And his wife died some years ago. They have one son, and he now lives in Dubai working for a tech company. Is that a fruitful life? Is that the pinnacle of life? Well, let's be really clear tonight that a fruitful life begins not with our effort, but with being united to Jesus Christ by faith. If we're going to live a fruitful life, and you try to answer that question in any other way than saying, it's about Jesus, then you're on the wrong trajectory. Jesus said, in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And so if you want to live a fruitful life, then you must be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life must be centered on him. And through your union and your fellowship with Christ, being part of him, part of the true vine, then by the power of the Spirit, he changes your life and he brings fruit into your life. The fruit of the Spirit on display. Now, in a sense, we could close our Bibles and I wouldn't have opened up the text in any way, but that is where we're going to land. That's our answer tonight. But how do we get there? Well, let's dive into it. In Psalm 1, the psalmist makes this really clear. Remember, this is the gateway into the Psalms, and I think it was Stephen preached not that long ago on Psalm 1, and this isn't to rehearse what he said, but it's to come at it from a different angle. And as it were, imagine that the entrance into Psalm 1 is this a fruitful arch. We haven't quite made it to an archway tonight at Hill Street. A fruitful arch. And how do we have this fruitful life? How do we walk into this? Well, there are two paths that are very clearly seen, verses 1 and verses 2. So two paths, that's our first point. I wonder, have you ever found yourself walking in a city and you have put an address into Google Maps, and because you're in a city, it's a little bit slow to pick it up. And so you start to head off in one direction, and the map takes a little bit of time to catch up. And on your way, you've passed people in a shop, and you've maybe passed some people out drinking coffee in the street. And then you realize, I'm heading the wrong way. And you've that moment to decide, am I going to go back embarrassed past all of those people? They'll know that I was lost. Or will I just keep walking and find another route that might take me an extra 10 minutes, but I'm just so ashamed, I don't want to walk past those people. Or you put on that shocked face, that surprised face, oh, I forgot something, acting to yourself, and you start to walk back in the direction that you came from. It's happened to me a few times, as you can tell, because this has been a very active dilemma in my life as we have done this. But if we're honest, often so many of us feel lost. We ask the question, where am I going? Even as Christians, we ask the question, what is the point of my life? We ask the question, have we any value or purpose or identity? And as we try to disentangle these questions and find an answer, it's true that we feel so lost. And if you're not a Christian, that is particularly true tonight for you too. So let's bring some very basic clarity to this situation. The psalmist lays it out really, really clearly. There are two paths, verses 1 and 2, and you've got to pick which path you're going to walk on. One path will lead you to a fruitful field, and the other path will lead you to a place that is barren, a place of decay, a place of tumbleweeds, of dust and of death. One, a place of goodness and abundance and life, and the other, death. So what will we choose? Well, in a sense, Psalm 1 also paints the picture of Genesis right at the beginning, and it paints the picture that Adam had before him. Which path will you pick, Adam? Will you pick the path that will lead you into righteousness? Will you pick the path that God has laid out for you to delight in his word, verse 2? Or will you pick your own path? Take the fruit that you have been told not to take. Will you walk, Adam, in righteousness or in rebellion? And as Adam walks down the rebellious path, so too we have these two paths before us. So which path are you on tonight? Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man, and that man is compared to the wicked and the sinful and the scoffer or the mocker. There's the man of the word, and there's the man of the world. So verse 1, this path of wickedness, the path that leads us to the place of death, look at how it begins. It begins by walking along and listening to the world. Listening to someone, listening to a friend. If you're a young person here tonight, the people that you listen to is crucially important. The people that you consume, if that's on social media, or if it's in your school life, or in the friends that you run around with, the person that you walk alongside has a massive impact on your life. This person in Psalm 1 starts walking, and as they walk, they listen to the counsel of the wicked. They're taking in what the wicked say. They're taking in what the world says. And then it progresses. You see how it moves. They start off by walking, and it maybe is only a passing by. It's a brief encounter, but soon that walk changes, and now they stand still. And they stand in the way of sinners. Their company changes. The people that they want to be with changes. And then it advances even more. Because by the end of verse 1, this person who started off perhaps on a brisk walk with the ways of the world, who then started to stand in the ways of the world, now sits with the world. They've made their bed with the world, with the wicked and with the sinner and with the scoffer. They embrace this way of life. And you can imagine the scene. Perhaps this person looks back and they can hardly remember how they got here. How did I arrive at this place? How did I arrive at this place of sin? How did I arrive at this place of death and of barrenness? There's no fruit here. It's just empty carcasses. They look around at the company they keep, and spiritually speaking, it's like looking at skeletons. They are malnourished and death-like. And this journey is reflected in so many people. Sin lures them in until they set up their home in sin. We know the story, don't we? Perhaps someone grew up in a Christian family. They were sent to Sunday school and to every kids' meeting in the town, night after night. And now they have no time for Christ. And it maybe all started with one friendship. It started with one decision to enter into sin. One desire not put to death. One relationship that took them away. I wonder how many people used to sit here in Hill Street. How many people used to fill these pews? And right now, those who have been at Hill Street for many years, you're thinking about faces and names. People who used to sit here week after week, week after week, they were brought along. It seemed like they loved Jesus. There seemed to be a small seed of faith. And now? Well, now their pew is empty. Someone else occupies their pew, and they have no time for the Lord. Why? How did it happen? Well, it happened because they started to walk, and then they stood, and then they took their seat in the way of the world. And we might stand here tonight or sit tonight and think about those people and say, goodness, isn't that awful? Shame on them. And yet, for us, who says that tomorrow we wouldn't decide to start to listen ever more intently to the ways of the world? And we would start to walk in the counsel of the wicked. And we too would then stand in the way of sinner and sit in the seat of scoffer. Beware. Beware who we listen to. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow march. It's a march towards hell by the drumbeat of Satan, isn't it? So where are we walking? Which path are we walking on? Who are you walking with? Who are you listening to? Now, what is the opposite? Well, the opposite is verse 2, but this blessed man, he doesn't do any of those things. Instead, he delights in the law of the Lord. He delights in the Lord's ways. He delights in his law, the Ten Commandments that are set forward in his word. He delights in them. He loves the law. He loves the Lord's word. On his law, he meditates day and night. This is a person who is consuming the word. Heard recently, the person is a member of our church, so I'll not use them by name here, but they talked about how whenever they trusted Christ for the first time, they sold their TV and they picked up their Bible and they consumed their Bible. They couldn't get enough of their Bible. They kept reading it and reading it. It's this picture. Delighting in the law of the Lord. Different desires. Their heart governed by a different way. They delight in the Lord, and they are happy. They worship him. They enjoy the Lord. And this is the holy person who has found a greater thing than all the world that can offer. They've found the Lord. They've tasted and known the Lord to be good. They've understood that this world cannot satisfy them. They love God. They love his word. And so as it is, they walk down this path, and this path is layered with Scripture. There's Scripture on the road, there's Scripture on the trees, there's Scripture all over this path as they walk it. And so the company that we keep, the people that we walk with, are they talking to us about the Scriptures? Are the people that we speak to and ask for counsel, do they give us godly counsel? What does the Bible say about that issue? What does the Lord say about that issue? Whenever you stand with them, are they talking about the things of Christ, things that edify you? Are they like what Jesse Ryle describes as the holy person? Are they like being beside a warm fire? And whenever they sit with you, do they not simply scoff, but instead they do the absolute opposite? They enjoy the Lord. Two paths. Either we delight in the law of the Lord or we walk in the way of the world. And these two paths then secondly take us to these two fields, verses 3 and 4. Now my dad, since he has retired, has taken into planting lots of shrubs. And it's not something that I have great experience in, so I asked him, Dad, what do you need for a good shrub to grow well? What do you need? And he said, you need nutrient-rich soil and fluffy soil. I don't know what fluffy soil is, but that's what the description is. I looked up what would fluffy soil be, and apparently Google says it would be aerated soil for all the gardeners in the room, and that there would be good drainage. That's what you need. And all of us tonight, as we think about this subject, we want to live fruitful lives, and we want the picture to be verse 3, us planted in good soil, and the good soil is the Lord's word and his ways. So the person that delights is planted, verse 3, like a tree. It's this picture of a field like a tree. You're planted like a tree beside streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Immovable, steadfast. This tree within the Middle Eastern context is a place of refuge. It's a place of life. It has strong roots. It is consistent. It does not wither. It is beside the source of life that is this stream of water. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a picture of peace, of tranquility. It's the complete opposite from the chaos of the world. Because look at verse 4. The psalmist says, the wicked are not so. The field that the wicked find themselves in, it's like a field full of chaff. Nothing is certain in this place. The wind drives it backwards and forward. It's tossed to and fro. It's a place that is barren. Couldn't be more obvious. The picture couldn't be more vivid for us. If you want to walk tonight in the ways of the world, if you want to gratify your own desires and follow that way that the world has laid out for you, you will end up in a place of death. Be sure of it. Eternally, yes, but on this earth also. You will have no joy, no supreme satisfaction. You'll be like this chaff that the wind drives to and fro. But the fruitful person, the tree-like person, they're so the opposite. What does it look like for us? It's like the teenager who is not shaken though their classmates laugh at them for being a Christian. They're like a tree, planted, strong. It's the marriage that endures disappointments and setbacks and delights to worship the Lord. It's a family who cries together because of grief, yet sings through those tears, in Christ alone my hope is found. It's the lady who, in the midst of a diagnosis, trusts the Lord. It's the man who realizes he isn't going to reach the heights that he thought he was going to reach in his career. And he's content. This is the person who, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is not shaken, not disturbed, but has a strong and sure foundation because their life is planted in the soil, the nutrient-rich soil of Christ and his word. And you notice verse 4, the shortage of words, the shortage of the description in comparison to verse 3. Verse 3 is this beautiful descriptive picture, but verse 4 is not. It's It's simple. The wicked are not so. They're in this dusty and dry place of death. They have no answers for the big questions of life. They're hopeless. They're in chaos. Two paths, two fields. Finally, verses 5 and 6, two harvests. Two harvests. As someone who has grown up around orchards, there are two types of harvests within the apple orchard. There's the harvest of the beautiful apples that are on the tree, the nice, crisp, hard apples, the ones that are juicy. You pull them and you harvest those. And then there's the harvest of the windfall apples, the disgusting apples, the ones that are brown, the ones that are full of earwigs and insects. They're the ones that go into your juice, by the way. It's true. But it's two harvests, right? You have the first harvest, and the first harvest, the smell of the first harvest is beautiful. Going up into Granny's yard, and the apple bins are full, and you can smell the apples sometimes coming down the lane. And the other, well, it's disgusting. They're mushy. You know the picture. Two harvests separated these apples. And so too, it's really simple. In Psalm 1, the psalmist says there are two different congregations, two different harvests, as it were, a separation. Look at it, verse 5. Therefore, as a result of life, the path that you walk in life, therefore, the wicked will not stand. Those who have walked down that path, who have found themselves in that field, they will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There's a separation. And on one side, we have the wicked, and on the other side, we have the people who have found themselves in God's word. And it's simple, the application. The challenge is, where will we be found? The psalmist couldn't be clearer. Two paths, two fields, two harvests. The questions couldn't be simpler. Which path, which field, which harvest will you be part of? And the call for us today, as we assess this, as we think about it, as we assess what the fruitful life is, it has to then take us to the ultimate blessed man of Psalm 1. Because every page of Scripture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this psalm, it should be making us instantly think about Christ. Who is this blessed man of Psalm 1? Who is it that can delight in the law of the Lord? Who is it that is ultimately like a tree that is planted by streams of living water? In all that he does, he prospers. Who is it that is a place of refuge and life? Who is it that will judge the wicked? And it's the blessed man of Psalm 1 that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He delights in the law of his Father. His enemies will not stand. They will be brushed aside. They will be blown away like dust. They're like chaff. He simply, and they're gone. But the congregation of the righteous, those who have trusted Christ, verse 5, those who walk in him, who trust in him, they will endure forever. Verse 6, it's the opposite of the wicked. The wicked will perish, but those who trust in Christ will live forever. They will enjoy his presence. They will enjoy his blessing. And so the invitation of Psalm 1, as we conclude tonight, is simple. You want to live a fruitful life. You want to have an impact in this world. You want your life to have meaning and value and purpose. Well, which path will you pick? My appeal to you is simple. Pick the path of the Lord Jesus Christ, the path of the righteous. Delight in him and in his ways. Give your life to him. Walk with him and watch as he changes you, verse 3, to be like him, to be like this tree, that you will be immovable in the challenges of life, sure and steadfast, that you will be a delight to others, that you will be a place of rest to others, that people will come to you and enjoy your presence. Planted in Christ. And then you can look forward to be part of this great congregation of the righteous, where we will be with him forevermore. Two paths, two fields, two harvests. And the appeal is to live a fruitful life. And that's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ.